When did you actually come in? What was it like coming here, very new? What was your journey of being an international student like? Because you came in kind of pretty earlier than all of us. When did you come in?
So I moved into Australia in 2017. I just turned 18. But when I was processing for my application to come to Australia, I was 17.
Okay.
So I went through a bit of issues. I mean, it was a bit lengthy process, I would say. But eventually I had family here, so it worked out good. So I came with my brother, my cousin. So it was pretty easy for me. And I didn't feel like I left home because I had other family in here. So it was pretty like, oh, yeah, I'm safe with family.
That's nice.
That's my experience.
And what was like being an international student like? What was your journey of being a student like?
Well, I would say fascinating. For me, I always had a thought or a purpose that why am I here? Like, so I had certain goals and I was like, why am I here? And what should I get out of all of this? As an international student, I mean, definitely it's a different country. The whole lifestyle is different. But it was interesting, fascinating, and challenging at the same time.
So did you have to go through like troubles of not finding a good job at the beginning? Do you have like problems to communicate with people around you?
Okay, fortunately, I have been very grateful in regard to all those aspects. The first thing was I had family here. So I didn't have to go through all those steps where a normal Nepali student come from Nepal who don't have their family or their guardian in here, right? So I had family in here, so they basically looked after me for some time. And what happened was just because I was under 18, my application was deferred for next semester. So I was actually supposed to get started on Feb, but it was postponed or deferred. And I had to come on, I think it was June intake. But I moved to Australia in March. And I was like, I didn't even know, like, they told me, obviously, I was prepared for whatever is going to come along my way, but I did apply for a couple of jobs, but I never heard back from them. So I was like basically chilling for a few months. So it was a month of March when I moved in. So for a few months, let's say, I was chilling with family, having great time, you know. I didn't have the pressure to pay my bills or rent or whatever. So I was pretty chill. And then I started studying. I went to uni and then I met a couple of friends and they started to talk about jobs and all that. I'm like, oh, my God, are you guys working? And I'm like, oh, my God, I should find a job. That is when I was, like, triggered. Oh, my God, I shall definitely find a job. And I started applying, but the story is I was rejected everywhere. Like, I thought only if I had reached to the point where they would interview me, I would have nailed it. That's what I felt. But I was always rejected for all these KFC and McDonald's.
I can understand that.
That we recently, we applied when we were like, when we moved to Australia at the start. So I was like, oh my God, you guys are rejecting me. Okay, okay. Took me a while.
Yeah, but everyone has to go through that rejection phase.
Exactly. But then it was a lot easier process compared to what my other friends who didn't have their family here. I mean, it was a lot easier for me. I never felt like, oh, my God, I'm in a different country. Oh, my God, how am I going to do? How am I going to talk to people? Like, as you mentioned earlier, about communicating with people. Well, obviously, it's a bit different. But, I mean, I did pretty good.
Yeah, that's nice to hear that. Yeah, it's always like somehow easier if only you have someone who could like guide you through like, you know, where to go, where to find jobs or how to do things. I think it gets a lot easier when you are completely new instead of being like completely new to a place. If you have someone who could guide you, it's very helpful for sure. So what was the first job that you did here?
Oh my God, KFC.
KFC?
Oh no, hold on. No. My first job, this is very confusing because I was not working, but I was working here and there, sort of. So, but like, official job was at a KFC, right? But before that, I was a nanny.
Okay.
So I was a nanny. I used to look after a beautiful girl who's just living 5 minutes away from us. So it was like our family friend. And then I looked after her for a few hours, you know, but it was basically, it was not even a job, you know what I mean? Like, I love kids.
Yeah, but there are jobs like that too, actually, no?
Exactly, there are, but you have to qualify for that. I mean, I think you have to study and go through all that process to be a nanny, right? But I had no experience, man. I was 17, you know? So I was like, but I really got along well with that kid. And I looked after her for a few months. And after that, I moved into KFC, another journey.
And how did it move on after that? How difficult was it for you to... Okay, you had your parents, they were guided and everything, but there comes to a point where you have to manage everything by yourself. Like, you have to study, you have to work, you have to do those two things together. How was that process like for you?
Okay, so I was studying, obviously. I was studying, I was working, and it was like a whole new thing for me. Because in Nepal, we don't have the culture of working and studying, you know. So it was obviously different, but... the good thing was I was so prepared for it. So I had that before moving to Australia, I was so prepared that one day if I have to move to another country and if I have to live by myself and do things on my own, I am ready for whatever that comes my way, right? So maybe that sort of feeling motivated me to accept whatever comes. But I didn't work a lot. I mean, I work part-time, so I was, like, focused on studies as well and working part-time a few days, and I was also into other stuff, so I was trying to juggling and balancing my personal life and professional education, career, everything.
So was it, like, kind of easy or was it kind of, like, hard? How did you manage that? You know, you said that it was difficult at first, right? So what were some of the things that you did to actually manage that?
You have to just do it.
Just do it.
You have no choice. Like, literally, you have no choice. Luckily, I lived with my family. So there were times that I came to home from work and there was food ready for me. But then recently, after graduating, I live on my own. I mean, I live with my sister, but it's based, we both work full time. So... I can't expect her to cook for me. So I have to go get home after work and then cook for myself. You know what I mean? But at that point of time, when I just started working or when I was new to this place, my family was there. And when I came home, I felt that sort of relief or peace, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't frustrated or anything like that. But one thing what I've realized, you just have to do it because you have no choice. And that is why you are here for. To develop work experience or skills and study at the same time. And that is what everyone does. So you just have to learn. You should manage time and you should work on it. So
of course,
there is no specialty as such, but just do it.
Just do it. Yeah, but it's again, it's hard to do things, you know, like it's easier said to do it, but it's hard. So how, I just wanted to understand from your perspective, like how, where, like for what I do it, I have this habit of writing things down. So if I have a lot of things to do, I just write them down and figure out, okay, which one is the first priority? And I just try to do that. And whatever remains at the last, they are like, I do it later someday on when this finishes and when this happens, you know. So I have a habit of like writing down things and then spreading it out throughout the week. I do it like that. Do you have anything like that or any process, any technique that you use?
Not at that point of time, honestly. Now I'm struggling. You start researching and doing things after you struggle. At that point of time, I think about, oh my God, how energetic I was. Well, I still am. But looking at all those stuffs that I did back in the day or a few years back, man, I was full of energy. Obviously, what I normally do is I just think before I go to bed. So I plan before I go to bed. So for tomorrow, these are the things that I'll be doing, right? I used to write notes, but I wasn't very consistent with that. But I used to plan, obviously, beforehand. But since I've graduated and I've started to live on my own now, everything is coming together and it is definitely making me a lot harder to deal with emotions, finances, everything in general. So now I've started to sort of journal all the feelings because I don't live with my family anymore. I mean, there is a sister who's always going to listen to my rants 24/7, but I still do write my feelings out at this point of time. But back in the day, oh, I just did it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
So.
that's a good thing to write down, writing down your journals and anything. And I think that's the thing, one of the thing with all of us international students who come here and who don't have their own family is that they don't have that person to talk to, you know, like when you come back home and when you're not feeling so good there, isn't that someone to talk to? And I think that somehow messes us up in the mindset. Like it just keeps on building up. You just have nowhere to put it out. And it just keeps on building up. So in that case, it's a very good idea, you know, like to journal it down, to write it down. Somehow, once you just write it down, whatever was bothering you, it somehow becomes less bothering, somehow, you know, just because you write down.
Exactly. In my personal experience, I've been writing my feelings out for a while now. So, and also, just to sort of, I record myself, and I am a big time crybaby. I mean, I struggle with my emotions a lot. I'm an empath, so I struggle with my emotions. So what I do is sometimes I record myself and talk to myself on the camera. So that has also helped me. I write my feelings out whenever I feel low or if there is something that's going on in my head. And another thing is always reach out for help. Talk to the family or friends you're comfortable with. So in my case, I am very fortunate because I mean, even though I don't live with my family at the moment, but I have my sister with me, so I can share whatever with my sister. So that has definitely helped me as well. But just make sure you talk to people or reach out for help if you're really struggling. Even I thought I knew a lot of people, but you know, when you're struggling, you kind of feel like you have to feel comfortable to share all your feelings out. Even though you know a lot of people, you have a lot of friends. If you're not comfortable, if you feel like, oh my God, are they gonna judge me? Or are they gonna, you know, th think whatever.
Definitely,
But
no.
you know,
Yeah,
that
I can
sort of
understand.
feelings, yeah, that sort of feelings is that is what actually
Your
someone
brother?
interrupted.
Your
Sorry.
brother?
Yeah. Oh my
That's
God.
right.
Yeah, so insecurity, that can sort of push you backwards in regards to sharing your feelings and problems, but just find who is the right person for you and you're comfortable with to share your feelings. And I think that will also definitely help you with your emotions. And also because of COVID, like we're struggling. I mean, I struggled a lot, but how I keep myself and motivate myself every day is there are a lot of people out there who are struggling, who have lost their families, you know, and we're not being able to see their families during this hard time. So just looking at that side, I'm like, calm down. I mean, everything is good, touch wood. So make sure you check on your family, friends. Yeah, so there are a lot of people struggling. It's pandemic worldwide. So
Of course.
looking at that aspect, I mean, I'm not saying that my mental health is not important. It is definitely important, but just to motivate and encourage, like I have a job, you know, financial stability, my family are doing well, I have good health, you know what I mean? There are so many reasons to be about. So I'm like, whenever I feel upset or whenever I'm struggling, I cry. Crying is the biggest therapy for me, personally.
It is.
And also just thinking about how grateful we are and thinking about what we have in life. You know, I read this thing somewhere. You are at least living one of your dreams that you prayed for or wished for. Obviously, man.
We do.
We all do, right?
Yeah.
It's just we don't think about it because we're too busy focusing on what is not working with us.
Exactly.
We're too occupied with the idea that it's not working. But we are forgetting that there are so many things that is actually working for us and it's paying off, right?
You actually tossed on a few topics that I would love to talk about. The first thing is about a crying thing. When it comes to crying, I think it's very hard for us men somehow, because that's how we have been built up. We have been told from the very childhood that boys don't cry, boys need to be strong enough and everything. But crying is a natural emotion. And somehow crying actually takes out that burden of feeling you're having, you know?
It has nothing to do with gender.
That's what I'm trying to say. It has nothing to do with gender, but that's how we have been built. That's how we have been taught from the very childhood.
Exactly.
I can't cry, man. The only time I would cry would be like while watching an emotional movie. That's when I cry. I can't. I don't cry when I'm feeling bad or sad. I don't know why. I don't cry. Somehow I deal with that shit.
Maybe you're strong or you're built that way.
I don't know. That's how I've been built, you know, like from the very childhood. That's how I've been brought up. And it's hard, but somehow crying is not a bad thing. Crying is not somehow, you know, like making you smaller or demotivated or whatever. It's like, it's a good thing to do. Cry out. Cry your pain out. Because once you do that, you have somehow feel more comfortable with yourself.
A lot,
you know?
Better. A lot better. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing. And the other thing that you talked about was the mental health topic and how, you know, like we can't share things with someone else, you know, because these kind of emotions, these kind of feelings, it's hard to share. It's hard to explain someone why I'm having an anxiety. What is anxiety? If the person haven't felt it before, they wouldn't understand what an anxiety is. It's hard to explain. And I think that's why we don't go out and talk to people about that, because we somehow...
It is still a taboo in our community.
It is.
I mean, not just in our community, but worldwide, it's still a stigma. I mean, taboo. So people are not open. People are not comfortable sharing it. So I think we should definitely make a move on it and bring some change. You know, it's okay to share your feelings out, and it's okay to be vulnerable. You know, you have good days, you have bad days. And because I think I have been thinking about this recently, because after I started working full time as a nurse, I started struggling with my emotions. As I mentioned earlier, I'm an empath and I struggle with my emotions. But what I realized, even when I talk to my parents, I keep on sharing them like how the education system in our country, or I mean, how we should focus on prioritizing mental health, as in, you know, when you're struggling, it's okay to go for help, right? It's okay to reach out to people. But it has become such a taboo that you're weak. You're not as strong enough. So I think it is definitely okay to reach out. And another thing is, even when I struggled with mental health, we should teach our children that after you turn certain age, let's say 18 plus, I mean, my parents are always there for me. My family is always going to be there for me. It goes same for everyone. Like, there are always going to be support system, your family, friends, you will always have them around. But we should be taught that you are the one who is going to deal with your life stress, as in your work stress as a human, you know? The problem you go through in your life or in your job or whatever that is, that's you. That's only you. You know what I mean? So my parents can't help me much rather than just giving me support. But the person that is dealing with all those problems is me. So we should be taught that you have to be strong enough to deal with situations like that. And you should share it out. You should vent it out at times. If you're not comfortable, reach out for professional help. You know what I mean? And it's okay to be vulnerable and cry or, you know, feel lonely. And these days we are into social media, as we just judge people by watching videos or photos, you know, but in reality, it's different. it's so competitive that we want to copy others' lifestyle or we want to look pretty, whatever that is. But I imagine my cousin, he is 2 years old, and I think, oh my God, this poor little one, at least we had the opportunity to be in a generation where technology wasn't that famous in that time. We had sort of bit of both, right? But now look at these kids. They grew up using that smartphone. You know,
they don't know how to play outside.
And they don't talk to each other. I mean, like even friends, you know what
exactly.
I mean? So it's going to be so hard. And this is going to definitely
affect them later.
Impact mental health of younger generation as well.
Yeah.
So that is what I felt, actually.
That is true. Like for our generation, we have seen that thing where I think we were more creative during the childhood, because I think being in a child, you are very curious. You are curious about everything. And somehow, since we didn't have these technological things and everything, we somehow enjoyed ourselves in the nature, in the outer world. We would just play with bricks. We would just play with stones and sticks. We didn't need like a phones or, you know, we were creative back then. But looking at this generation now, which is coming up, I think we have to somehow be careful. The parents out there will have to be careful that they are not so much into social media or into a phone or into a tablet, iPad all the time, that they actually forget to enjoy life, you know, enjoy childhood, going out, playing, getting hurt, you know, all those kind of things. I think parents will have to be careful now so that they would provide that. They wouldn't, like, you know, let them not have that thing. They should have it. I think so. And again, coming back to mental health, it's a broad topic, man. I don't think we actually have proper dialogues regarding mental health. And I don't think people even know that there is this thing called mental health, you know. We don't realize that. We don't talk about it. As I said, we don't know what an anxiety feels like. We don't know what depression feels like, you know, because there is a proper dialogue. We don't talk about it with friends. Also, we can be vulnerable, but we need to be very careful with that, because not all people are good people. Not all people are trustworthy. So we need
that
to find those kind
of... You have to figure out who you are comfortable with to share your feelings out, and that person active listening, you know. Mm-hmm. You have to... If someone's trying to share their feelings out, don't interrupt them or don't keep on asking questions that is going to distract them or, you know, make them feel low. Just forget about whatever. Your thoughts, keep your thoughts aside and just listen to them. Listen to what they have to say. And don't be judgmental. Just listen, be an active listener. And then after they have finished all their stuff, you are not someone who have right to change their perception, but you are someone who is definitely there to listen to their thoughts and, you know, be there for them. You know what I mean? So I think active listening.
Listening is a very great skill to have, not only regarding this topic, but regarding any topic, your personal development, if you're working on a team or anywhere. Active listening is a very good skill to have. I think we do lack a lot of that, because in even with me, we don't listen to understand somehow. We just listen to, you know, reply back. I think we do that a lot, you know, instead of understanding what someone is saying, we try to reply back. I'm struggling with that. I'm
it's
trying to work on that.
Very quick.
Exactly. And I think, as we were saying, like how sharing those things somehow makes the burden less. You don't have to do anything, you know, just listen to that person. If only you could get that person talk about their feelings, talk about whatever they are feeling, although you don't understand, you know, if only you listen to them, somehow that will help them, believe me. Just making them out there to speak out, it helps. So just be an active listener. That's a very good skill to have. So since you said that you had some of those moments, you had some of those, you know, times where you weren't feeling good or you were having negative feelings, negative emotions, would you be able to share that part of your life, that journey? What was it like? What happened and how did you come out of that?
Well, I consider myself a very fortunate child, honestly. So maybe I was overstressing a lot. That is what I think, because I am an overthinker. That is what sometimes I'm a very sensitive person. Well, I've tried to come out and just focus on being more of, you know, positive, optimistic person. I mean, and not bother other people's opinion affect my mental health. But sometimes it is very hard. But then maybe because I am a new grad as well, so starting a new job, having that pressure. And another thing is, because I have never visited my family back home in this 5 years of time, so that could be another possible reason that's, you know, sort of affecting my mental health, because not being able to see them. My initial plan was to graduate and then go back home, or either have my parents here so that we can celebrate or at least visit, right? But COVID happened. This is so unpredictable. After that, I was really frustrated. But there were certain ways, obviously, like I mentioned earlier, writing down my feelings, you know, recording myself crying and stuff like that, which really helped me, and sharing my stuff to my sister. But, you know, the part that's always there, that void of not having your family around and not getting to touch them or see them and actually be with them. And I think that is another thing that really affected me personally. Because I had a plan, right? I had a plan. Okay, after 4 years, I'll finish my degree and then go back home. But then it's already been 5 years. I mean, I'm still here and I am not able to see my parents. And I'm working in a critical, I mean, I'm working as a frontliner. And that's even more stressful. I'm a new grad. You know what I mean? So it's happening together. And that is sort of affected my emotions and my mental health. But I didn't like really get to that point where it was so bad or horrible, traumatizing. It was nothing like that, but it just struggled with emotions. But eventually, you know, you have to work it out, and you do. But I didn't have to seek for professional help. I was actually thinking of seeking counseling and all that for therapy, but I was like, but then I started writing. I had a sister who's going to see, is my therapist. So I had therapy session with my sister. So that helped. But I think for me personally, because I mean, I have everything that I've always dreamt of. I studied, I graduated, I have a full-time job. I mean, my family are good. Everything is working out for me. I mean, I'm reaching there, you know, towards my goals, but it just, that feeling of not being together with family, it's sort of, that definitely
that affects
demotivated me or affected me in some ways. But that was not that major, you know. So still I struggle.
That's good to know. That's glad to know that you didn't reach to like extreme positions. I think that's the kind of a solution to all these kind of feelings, you know, like negative feelings or negative phases. It's not about not having them. They are normal. You have negative feelings, you have negative emotions. They are natural. But I think the thing is that realizing that this is happening, or realizing that these are the negative emotions, okay, this day at this time I'm having negative emotions and negative feelings, and if possible, go out and analyze that. Why are you having that? What's happening in your life? What's happening with your health system? You know, I think that's the solution.
Say that because of COVID, it's not just me. 100%.
Of course not.
It's not just me. I mean, a lot of people, they're out there struggling and seeking for help, or they're isolated, you know? I mean, it's so difficult. So, I mean, I'm not complaining or anything. I'm happy. I'm learning, you know? It has taught me a lot of things, but at the same time, it's not just me. So definitely, I would say a lot of people are struggling out there in regards to mental health and isolation. You're not even allowed to see your family, friends. I mean, you can't go out. So, I mean, mental health is already an issue, but because of COVID, it has even become more severe, I would say. So, I mean, I think we'll get there. Today is the Freedom Day. I mean,
We will get there. Yeah, exactly. We will get there. It's just overwhelming, you know, like sometimes you just, it's just overwhelming when everything comes in. It's just, it's not because of that. I don't know, because of the lights or something. It just, I start sweating when I start talking and everything, excitement, everything. Yeah. Since you talked about, like, since you're working as an RN right now, right?
Yeah.
How difficult, because I've heard it from my friends, like, RN exams are very difficult, you know, like, They say that nursing have a lot of scope here in Australia, but the IELTS exams are very difficult. What's your take on that? Are there really so many opportunities for nurses out here? And how hard are the exams?
There is, because look at the health system. Look at the crisis that we are on.
That's a silly question to ask right now, actually.
We need a lot of healthcare workers and people coming in, joining us, and helping people, giving out to the community. Mm. So definitely we are one of the most demanding careers. So nursing is one of the most challenging and most stable career choice that you can make. I would say it is challenging, but you'll get there and you'll go.
Any tips for the students who are trying to give art exams? Any tips for the students who are trying to study nursing?
Just be calm. It's okay. It's okay. Study hard. Make yourself that time for your clinical placement, because we have a lot of placements happening. And I can definitely imagine, I think all of the students these days are doing online courses, and I can imagine being a nursing student and doing online courses. So
how do you understand things?
So focus on your prax. When you go to hospital or wherever you are allocated for your placement, just try to gain as much as you can out of the placement. And research. I mean, studying online for nursing is, I think it's traumatizing.
It's challenging.
But apparently even I did my third year online.
Mm-hmm.
So my third year was all online. So imagine, so I graduated, I mean, technically this year. So, but I did my third year course online, and I know how it feels. And I think people, I mean, students are still doing it online. So it's been...
Like, how do you understand things? Like, they say that even the colors and everything, like, for the outer body parts, I don't think it's a big deal. But once you go inside your body, I think it would be very hard to, like, understand things or see things or visualize things just by studying online.
I mean, it is what it is. I actually saw some of the photos on my school's page that they've been sending through all the essential nursing equipments to students so that they can practice at home. Maybe they will demonstrate via online, and then they can practice at home since they have all the equipments. I mean, not everything, but few stuffs to prime the line. So I saw that, but I mean, it's difficult, but I think you can gain a lot from your clinical placement. And also because of COVID, I can definitely say there are times where your placements get cancelled. And it's very hard for the school to allocate student as well. That is why my placement was delayed. So I was actually supposed to finish my studies on November, complete my placements by then. That is when you're done, right? So you have to complete certain hours of your placement, but then my placement was not allocated, so I had to actually attend my practical on February, so 2021, but I was supposed to finish by November, but then I did my placement and I completed it at the end of the Feb, and I got my registration in April and then started working after that. So focus on your pracs.
Yeah, that's nice, you know, because I've heard that. I hate exams. I hate exams. I'm so glad that I'm done with my studies. I hate exams.
Oh my God, I was actually researching about moving to the States, and I was like, what should I do if I have to move to the States? Do I have to, like, pass certain exams and all? And then I was like, there was this exam called NCLEX that I have to attend, and I was like, oh my God, exam, that freaks me out. No, I just can't. I was like, so, you know, I mean, I can study, I will do it. But, you know, just the idea of that exam.
Yeah, just the idea of studying that, man. I'm pretty glad that my course didn't have a lot of exams. Most of them were just assignment and assessment. I'm very happy about my course, that's why. I hate exams.
I'm glad it's over. At least bachelor, it's over. But I'm definitely going to study further. But... Let me enjoy my...
Yeah, that's a good idea to do, actually. You know? The kind of culture we have back home also is that just study, and finish all of your studies in master's. I don't think that's a very good idea, you know, because would just be like, it's like following the herd of sheep, you know. You don't know what you want to do, you don't know who you are, you don't know anything about the real world, and you're just studying, you're just wasting your time. You know, I realized that very soon after I finished my engineering that I should be doing some work, should be being out there before I do my studies, you know?
Oh my God, same thing happened. I graduated when I was 21. So I've never had like a break in my life when I was studying. And my dad was like, one day he called me and he goes, so I'm about to finish my bachelor degree and I'm so happy. And then I was like, my dad was, I don't want you to take a break. Why don't you jump into your master's and complete your master's? And then I think that would be great because you've never had a break. So you don't run out of time that society has, you know, like certain time frame. Like, I'm like, oh my, my dad didn't say that, but I'm just, you know, exaggerating things. But, and I explained my dad because nursing is basically hands-on. Like, I mean, you have to actually work to gain experience. You can't just study. It's not theoretical course, exactly. Right? So I explained my dad that I can't just be studying and have no experience. I explained him and he understood, obviously. And then so I'm like, I'll be giving some time to focus on my work. And then after that, I can also figure out what I actually want to do because nursing is a broader field. So I can research and work and then figure out where I really want to get into. I mean, I'm still young, so
you're very young.
Long way to go.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Again, you know, like I think especially with you, like we talked last time, don't stress too much. You're pretty young out there. Go out there, enjoy your life.
That I put myself.
I know you get that pressure from your family, you get that pressure from society, you know, fuck all of that, man. You have your own life to enjoy, have a good time, because you won't have this age back again.
Oh,
you know?
Your early 20s, and this COVID is literally ruining my 20s.
I can understand that, but go out there, enjoy, man. Don't stress too much. I don't know why, but this society has put us that seed in our brain that you need to be successful. Yeah. You need to be successful before 30 years. You know, you need to have a stable career before 30 and everything. You really don't, You really don't. Like they are okay. Like I can understand where they are coming from. Like even my parents, they keep on like saying me. They forced me to actually go out and give government exams. You know, like for like government jobs. But I was never the one. You know, I never liked that. But I can understand where they are coming from because that was their lifestyle, like, you know, to have a proper government job, to have a settled, you know, salary so that they could look after their family. You know, that was the generation that they grew up in. That was the kind of
system.
My dad
works for government and he never wanted me to go study abroad. He was like, oh my God, I don't even want to talk about what he, you know,
same with my dad.
So he's a very patriotic person. Of course, everyone is. We love our country. We love, you know, where we come from. We should never forget our roots. I definitely get that, but having said that, you have to explore and learn from other cultures as well. But I mean, you have to explore.
Exactly, that's the best thing to come here for, you know. Exactly, especially for you, go out there, explore. Don't just, you know, like make yourself too busy with work and system and culture, you know. Do some random shit. Do some shit that would be like memorable later on, you know, like.
That is, that was in my bucket list, as in like, I have lived the life of my dreams. I mean, I created opportunity for me. So I was a different career when I was back home because I was someone else's daughter, someone else's a sister or whatever, but when I moved to Australia, I am a Karuna. I'm a different person. No one knows me. I'm not known by my parents, or you know what I mean. So it was sort of a identity crisis thing. And then, I mean, within my community, having to explain that who I really am, where I come from, you know what I mean, and then build that sort of position for myself to explore opportunities. Well, I had to go through a lot, but. I mean, I'm very proud of, you know, what I went through and the position I am at now. So eventually we learn.
You've done a lot at this pretty young age. You have done a lot. Be proud of that.
Well, of course, positive aspect.
Talking about the things that you have done, I think we need to talk about this thing where you're a model. You're into fashion industry. You have done some beauty pageants too, right?
Yes, I
tell us about all of that. What's that like? What it's like being a model? What it's like being walking on that ramp, you know?
Well, Well, it basically started when I was 15. Well, I would say I was a very curious child. I was a very ambitious girl, you know. I mean, I always believe in having big dreams. Well, it costs you nothing, right? To have dreams, it's okay as long as you work for it. I mean, that's a path you have created for yourself. But having said that, you might fall down. But getting up and walking again is a win for me. Right.
That's
so,
the way to
I mean, I don't say that I am successful or I've done everything. Oh my God, I'm so proud. I mean, I'm proud of my achievements, whatever I've done, but I mean, I never give up. I try, I continue to try and I thrive for the best. So, I started my modeling journey when I moved to Australia. As and I started from like a simple, so my uncle, he actually motivated me to get started.
Did you do any modeling or fashion in Nepal back when you were back in Nepal?
Oh, yes. So I was one of the title holders, runners up one of the beauty pageant when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I studied. I mean, I was doing.
What was that like?
What was other beauty pageant?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, I was Miss SLC Pokras. I was second runners up. Okay. And then I had an opportunity to study. They provided me scholarship. Oh my God. When I was 15. Uh-huh. And then I did my high school for 2 years. And my parents, they wanted me to study, focus on my studies. So I took my major science. So I was like pretty much studying. Mm. I mean, not accepting the opportunities that were in my plate. So I sort of studied for 2 years. And after that, before moving to Australia, that was like a phase, you know, when I was applying and processing my application to move to Australia. And in that phase, I did a few ramp shows in Pokhara. And then I moved here. So, and then the new journey starts.
Mm-hmm. What happened after coming to Australia? Where did it start from?
So after moving to Australia, I love to speak. I mean, I'm a public speaker, so I've hosted multiple events as well. So my uncle organized a photo shoot for me because he was planning something with his friends, and then it's like, why don't you give it a go? Because you have. He's seen a potential in me and he's seen all the work that I did in the past and how enthusiastic I am in regards to this industry. And one of the photographers from Melbourne, he offered me, and then I did a few photo shoots with him. And after that, I started to host as well. So I emceed a few events, and after that, I was like, oh my God, I think I'm interested in modeling and I should create an opportunity for myself, as in like find ways how I can get into it, actually get into it. And I was like more fascinated with the idea of international modeling. And I was like, this is the opportunity. This is what I'm here for. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh my God, this is a time that I can sign on. But I had to go through a lot of hardship. So how it began was I actually searched online about looking for models and stuff like that, and I had to go through this sign up through this agency, but it was like a full day course that I have to pay for, which I did, and then I attended that course, but I didn't find that course or that class helpful. So I was like, I think I can do a lot better than what you guys have just taught me or offered me in this class. And then that is when I actually got really, you know, motivated to get into the industry and get started. And also I was very young. I was figuring out myself. I mean, I didn't know that where I'm going to reach or what I'm going to do. I was passionate and I was trying, you know what I mean? So I was just exploring myself, and that is how I started. So I started researching, and one fine day I saw a post that they're providing some ramp walk classes. And then I signed up for that, and then I did a few classes, and the opportunities started.
Keep
I
on
started
coming.
Working. I mean, yeah, doors were open. I mean, I failed. I was rejected, but then I still kept trying, and then There you go. If you keep on trying, I mean, you'll definitely get there. Well, all you have to do is just follow your dreams.
That's the thing about being in a place like Australia. Like, when you look back at Nepal, there might be lack of opportunities out there. But when you come here, man, it's on you. There are opportunities out there. Plenty of them. It's on you.
Grab it. Grab it all.
Exactly.
I mean, and another thing is, no one is going to come and do things for you.
Exactly.
You know, like, if I was, let's say I was so interested in modeling, but I never researched or never applied or never went there, out there, then I would have never gotten an opportunity. I actually was rejected in one of the fashion shows that was held in Sydney. And I realized, well, I mean, you have to be somewhat known or popular just to get accepted. Some, you know, biasness around. So I realized, oh my God, if you have potential, no one's going to stop you from getting all that. You know, it's up to you. So grab them all.
Exactly.
And never doubt yourself. I mean, we are not perfect. I'm not perfect. I mean, there is always a space that I need to learn. There are a lot of things, but I'm learning every day, every single day. But it just, I don't doubt on myself. I mean, I have insecurities as well, but I work on it rather than doubting on myself. You know what I mean? So,
how do you deal with that? Like your self-doubts?
Self-doubts. Well, just overcome. The way I overcome is just to focus on the positive side, like what I can do. Because if you find your weaknesses and you focus on how to work on that positively, rather than, you know, we often drag ourselves into negativity, as in if we are self-doubting, then we think like, I'm not good enough, I'm not perfect enough, I don't think I'll reach there. But instead of that, what if you try, okay, I'm capable, I can do it, you know, just I'll just give it a go. Even if I fail, I'll try again. I'll prepare on those things what actually, you know, didn't help me get there. So figuring out your weaknesses is very important, and just working on your weaknesses. So if you sort of, what are my weaknesses? You know, if I work on those, I mean, even working on those wouldn't make me perfect. I will still have some flaws, but at least to make me feel better or to grab the opportunities out there. So I think you have to work on those stuffs, and then you'll definitely get there.
That is like, you're not perfect. You're going to learn things. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to learn and just keep on continuing, going on. But the main thing is, I guess, you just have to somehow figure out time, or you just have to somehow figure out that encouragement to keep on doing it, you know, although it happens or doesn't happen. It comes back to down to, again, passion, I think, where if you're passionate about that thing or not, are you doing that just because it's a shiny syndrome where you see your friend or you see someone and you see them doing good in that field or in that topic, and you want to do that. You know, if you're doing that, you won't be doing all the hard work. You want rejection and you're done with that. But if you're somehow passionate about it, then you keep working on that. And it takes time to figure out.
You should be hungry for knowledge. You should try to grasp it all. Imagine, so I was rejected in one of the shows, right? I was shattered. I was so confident. But then when I was rejected for that show, I was shattered. I couldn't tell anyone that I was actually rejected for that show. But then imagine if I'd stopped there, then that would be me not accomplishing or not trying for my goals.
That would happen at the end of it.
You know what I mean? I didn't stop there. And after that, I was like, I came back with even more power and, you know, more sort of energy. And then, I mean, I got opportunities after that.
What would be, let's say, one of the best shoots or one of the best events that you have done in Australia so far?
I really miss Otter Delegans, obviously, because it was a show that's organized in Bankstown. So it was basically a suit that was organized with private jets, cars, supercars, you know, and we're walking on the ramp, all the models, we're competing, and there were people, you know. Oh my God, that definitely was one of the, you know, achievements, I would say. Even though I've done quite a few beauty.
What was that about again? What was that shoot like? What is that shoot for?
That was basically a shoot for a charity, so helping autistic kids and stuff like that. But that show was all about also promoting supercars and private jets. So we were like, there were like a lot of cars, supercars, and private jet, and then you'll be walking.
That would have
there are
been
a lot of
interesting.
crowds enjoying your performance. I mean, it was wonderful.
It's great to, that's what I mean, man. There are opportunities like that. You won't get it at once, but if you keep on trying and doing, you will reach there.
I got asked that, did you know them? You know, like in our community, like how if you know someone, then you'll definitely get that opportunity. Not that you have talent, but just because you know someone, you can grab opportunity because it's easier, you know, like the sort of what do you call it? Connection you have with people. You can just get it, right? So some people asked me, how'd you get that? Did you know someone? I said, no, I don't know. I don't know them as a supply. And I mean, that is how it
There
happened.
is this misconception among us, among the students out here, that you need, like back, as in back home in the country, like you need someone in power or you need someone within the industry for you to get inside. I think that's just a lazy way of thinking. You just don't want to do the work. That's why you're just looking for someone else who could get you
In
in.
my community, I find it hard, but internationally, I didn't face any challenges. Obviously, there are challenges in the job itself, but to get there, to actually apply and go there and participate in those stuffs, I mean, you can just do it. They
Yeah,
wouldn't
because you
feel
have the
like you're an employee
skills.
where you're from. I mean, if you have potential, if you have the ability, then you can just get it. So
Exactly.
they wouldn't be
Exactly.
judging you on that.
Exactly. If
Or
you have the proper skills, if you have the
fingering
pa
you as well. They don't do that.
Exactly. If you have, if even if you don't have the skill, if you have the proper passion for it, and if you can show it to the people that you're passionate about it, you'll get opportunities out of that. I have got a lot of opportunities out of that, actually.
Exactly.
Just because I was passionate.
One of my friends, what happened was, so in international fashion shows, there is like a certain height criteria that you have to meet. And one of my friends who is just 5'2", 5'3", and then she was applying for a fashion store job in Sydney. She's technically from Melbourne. And then she told me that she was so desperate and she was confident because she's a very popular model. And she thought that she's going to get that job in Sydney. So she moved to Sydney just for career opportunity in modeling. And then she went to that modeling agency and then they told her that her height requirements can't let her get that job. And then she was so upset. Obviously, she was shattered, right? But then she told me that how she went to the manager and approached her that, listen, I can do it. Just give me a chance. Forget about my height. Give me a chance. I'll do it. You know what? They were convinced. You know, sometimes we hesitate to actually go for the things we want. After that, I was like, even I struggle with that. I don't actually approach people if I really want. If I really wanted, I think we should be approachable. There is no harm in that. Either you will get the answer would be no.
That's the thing what
Oh.
we, I think, afraid of, the no thing,
No. Yeah, exactly. But then
Doesn't
she later went to the manager, and then later they hired her because the enthusiasm she had, they
matter.
appreciated because people actually like when you go and talk to them, when actually ask for feedback and ask for what you can do and how you will get there, how can you get prepared for it. So people like that. So I think just be
They
approachable.
do. I think this is also, I do this a lot. Not all the time. Sometimes I'm not confident enough to do this, but in other times it's like if I have to approach, like even for this podcast, I keep on, I have like approach, like even like big people, high influential people, nothing goes wrong. Just send them a message. If you get it, you will get it. If you don't get it, you don't get it. Nothing was wrong. Like nothing wrong is happening. There is nothing wrong in just approaching someone,
See, this is the thing to get started. Look at you, just to get started. You know, if you get started, then things will chase you. You don't have to chase things. So, but many people struggle because they don't have the ability to just get started. You know,
True.
we have
Starting
higher
is the hardest
dreams.
thing.
Yeah, exactly. So just to get started, I think for me, that is a big achievement.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to get into business, you know, but I had no one in my family who was into business. And me personally, I'm a nursing student. So, you know, we've talked about all that and I had no idea about business, but in the back of my head, I am so passionate about business, but turning business, fashion business.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but even my parents told me, oh my God, you're working full time as a nurse and how are you going to manage time for business? That's so stupid of you. I mean, they are thinking about me and my
progress.
So they were like, well, good. Just don't get started with business because you can't, or not just can't, but because it will be difficult
for you
to excel on what I'm doing right now. I'll be distracted or whatever. But I was like, I want to do it. I want to get started. It took me a while, but I started and then it's going good. So it just, we were talking about how to get started, and that's the only point, you know. You don't have to be successful. You don't have to be successful in all the things you do in life.
Exactly.
But just looking back, what you did, oh my God, your achievements or your failures, and that is what makes you stronger and what keeps you going, I think. So for me, just getting started is one of the keys to succeed.
It is. Like I am into like photography and videography, and one of the things, I think you can relate it to like any jobs or any type of situations, you know, like where most people don't go out there and start doing photography or start doing videography because they think that they don't have proper gear. I started with like a 10 megapixel, like a 10,000 Nepali rupees phone, you know, like it didn't matter to me, you know, like what the quality was or whatever. I was in love with the process. I was in the love with filming, going out there and actually recording that thing, you know. So it's never about the gadgets or resources you have. It's about your will to do it. Starting is hard. It's very hard to get this started. And once you get started, it's very hard to become consistent on whatever you have started.
Exactly.
That's a different problem that starts.
That is love, okay.
Yeah. But the main thing is to start, you know. When you start doing things and you feel like you have actually done something, that actually somehow motivates you to do more, and you start doing more, and things keep coming to you itself, you know, out of nowhere, you know. Once you start doing things, they start coming. So I think starting is one of the most difficult things, but that is something that you should do. Doesn't matter, forget about the results, forget about it, would you be successful or not, would you be able to do something, just start and see what does it feel like, you know, just see what does it look like, and then you can decide either you like it or not. You know, you can decide after that, but at least go out there, try, start.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that definitely helps. That is like the initial point to get towards success. So just to get started.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to do it, just do it. You know? And it's like where there is a will. I mean, you will just do it.
Exactly. But that's the thing, you need to figure out, for those kind of things, I think you need to figure out what your passion is.
I said it the other way, where there is a will, there is a way. So if you have like that wish then and enthusiasm, then you can definitely perform and do it. I mean, you don't have to excel on everything. We live in a generation where we are trying, experimenting a lot of things, and just to have that courage to get into things and just do it. And I think that is what plays an important role, rather than just sticking to one profession or, you know, just working into that profession for years and years. I mean, learning, you know, learning and involving in various things, that definitely helps you.
It depends upon the people too, but I think we are in that phase, or we are going into that phase where just having one job and just sticking to that won't be enough. You know, the way the world is changing, the way things are happening. Having this one thing,
I still have a time frame of, you know, like what I'm gonna do. I mean, I don't know if that's gonna work or not. It's up to the future. We don't know the future, but I definitely have like a time frame. Okay, this is the age. So, I mean, I don't want to put myself in that pressure or in that box.
That's what I'm saying. Don't put it.
Yeah, but you have to. I think for me, I definitely have a rough sketch. At least, you know, of. I mean, things always don't go the way you plan it, but but don't put yourself in a way that you get affected when you don't get whatever you wished for. So I would definitely not be, you know, depressed or unhappy about it. So just I planned, but it didn't work out. So I have that ability to just, you know, continue with whatever comes along. But for me, having a rough sketch about my future and my goals and my plans also helps me a lot.
It's a good idea to have. Like, I never did it before. I'm only doing it now because everything is on me, you know. That's why I've been doing this, but it's a good idea to have a goal, you know, like it's a good idea to have, okay, this is what I want to be or this is where I want to reach, because that will somehow motivate you to do things, you know. If you are just going out there without having a goal, without doing anything and you just want to flow with the river, you know, sooner or later you're going to drown or you're just going to end up in the ocean or whatever, you know.
But yeah.
It's good to have a goal because... even if you don't hit that goal by 100%, if you only just hit it, this is actually, I took it from Jordan B. Peterson, where he says that, you know, have a goal, have a schedule and do things. Although you can hit it by 100%, and if you only hit it by 50%, that's more than zero.
Like, you know? I mentioned earlier, you don't have to excel in everything you do, you know?
Exactly.
It's okay to fail. It's okay to not get all that when you're trying. But I'm glad that you are trying. That is what matters at the end of the day. So
exactly, trying. Having that experience, trying out, you know.
And you'll have no regrets, you know. You'll have no regrets
exactly.
in your life.
That's
you
another thing.
I did that. Yeah. That is how we live our life, right?
That's another thing that I believe.
I have no regrets with whatever, like all the things that I've done in my life. I mean, I want it. I did it.
Yeah. Do it, man. Have no regrets. Don't be in your like sleeping bag. That's what I think about, you know. Like, don't be in your sleeping bag. Think about like, if only I could have. Don't be like that, man. Just do it.
You learn a lot from it, yeah.
And so you're actually working with the old people, you know, like, so you should know more about those kind of things.
Oh my God, yes, I do.
Yeah. But you need to live your life. Just don't. There are things you can't do, but except than that, do whatever you
time
want.
Time is really short, you know? It's time is so short. So enjoy and live your life. Do the things. I mean, it's easy to say, but I mean... we have to just focus on living our life as well. We shouldn't forget that.
Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about was, I think your family is very supportive about all of your modeling and fashion work, as far as I've seen or as far as you've said about it. But when you come from a background like ours, I think it is somehow a bit difficult for women to get into either fashion or modeling, or, you know, they have a lot of like societal pressures or societal thinkings that bothers them, or that, you know, somehow blocks them from getting into it. What are your thoughts on that? Is it true or is it just what I think?
I mean, we live in a progressive society. It's changing, you know. It's changing. People, parents are more supportive towards their children's success or whatever they want to do, their goals, you know, what they want to achieve in their life. I don't think it's, I can't focus or specify on Nepali context because I haven't had a chance to actually, you know, really go there and see what it's like because I haven't worked in that industry. But since I reside abroad, so I don't think we have to go through what actually the society has to say, but for me personally, I always believe in family. I am a family girl. So everything I do in my life is connected, and my decisions, everything that is so concerned and related with what my parents have to say, what my family have to say. But as long as they are supportive in my journey or whatever step I am into, so then I am just happy. I'm perfect. I don't really bother about what society have to say, because my thoughts and the ideas society has, it does not have to match, or we don't have to get along well. Obviously, having said that, we live in a society and we should be accepted by this society. We have that idea, right? But it's that I always believe in yourself and then your family first. And then if families work and support their children, then becomes a community, a country, and then, you know, we can work that way. But for me, family's always been a huge support in whatever I've done in my life. And that is the major and almost really important part of my life to get through my goals and passion. So, I mean, there is still a lot of pressure, but I think these days it's not like that. I don't know.
I mean, I'm trying to say in context of back to Nepal, like not here in Australia, it's like pretty much open to everything. But when you go back to Nepal, because you were born there and you were raised there, you know, so seeing that, not like what it's like here, but thinking about someone who is in Nepal, you know, a girl from Nepal, you know, especially if she's like from a village.
I have to go through a lot of challenges because, but what I've seen is like, it really depends on your family as well. So, because it starts from your home, right? If imagine my parents weren't supportive of what I wanted to do, let's say modeling, if I was in Nepal, then my doors are closed. I mean, unless I'm rebellious and confident enough to, you know, just slam the door and leave the house or focus on my goals, you know what I mean? Just, let's say, disagree to what my parents have to say, then that's a different story. But as long as your parents are supportive, then you can just do it, whatever. I think that plays a major role to succeed, you know? But I think it's changed a lot because I've seen a lot of young girls who are into modeling and who are into media or entertainment. You know, these days people are into TikToks, wearing pretty outfits, putting on makeup, dancing and all that. I think parents have become more understanding, not just modeling, but say singing, dancing. There are a lot of reality shows and we are grooming our children from the very start of their life. So I think it's getting better. I mean, it wouldn't change overnight or... We come from a very, you know,
a conservative background. That's what Adam's saying.
Yeah, so we struggle a lot, but I think it's changing.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's good to know. All right, Karuna, thank you very much for your time. I think that's all I have in my mind right now. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, not really. Thank you so much for having me because I didn't have a good sleep last night. I was so excited for Freedom Day. And then I got up so early. Imagine I woke up at 6 in the morning and I was like, oh my God, my eyes are still so stingy, but doesn't matter. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I'm booked in for this interview. And I'm like, oh my God,
this isn't an interview. This is a podcast.
That's
all right.
I'm home with my family and I feel a lot better, but I just want to say, just look after yourself, look after your family, check out on your friends and families. I mean, everyone's struggling. Let's be kind to one another and let's support each other. So I just want to say that and stay safe and healthy. Look after your health. That's all. And thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much, Coming. That's a good note. That's a good message to everyone out there. Thank you very much, Karuna, for joining us today.
Take care. Ta-da. Thank you.
If you like this video, hit subscribe. You can listen to the full podcast in YouTube, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.